Former Maple Leafs defenseman Frankie Corrado, who is currently on the mend. He's rehabbing back in Canada right now. He sustained an injury overseas playing in the KHL earlier this year. Also, very notably,
my guy,
Al's brother's guy, Frankie.
My guy.
How's it going?
What's up, Frankie?
What's up? How we doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, buddy? How's the recovery going? What exactly happened out there?
Yeah, just late August, early September, had a little bit of a hip injury come up, and was doing my best to try and get through it and play as much hockey there as possible, but it just kind of got to the point where couldn't do it anymore, and just wanted to come home and get it checked out here, and so my contract there is done for the year, and I'm just on the mend here trying to get to 100% so I can play some more hockey at some point this year.
Are you planning on getting back out on the ice pretty soon?
Yeah, hope so. Like, hopefully this month I can hit the ice and kind of just keep progressing from there.
Frankie, your hometown boy, you've been keeping an eye on the Leafs since you've been back in Toronto. What have you liked about their game in this last stretch that's been pretty successful for the Buds?
For me, the number one thing that sticks out right now with the team is urgency. You know, like urgency to get the puck back, urgency, like when, you know, someone makes a play and it might go awry, like there's one or two guys always trying to pick up their teammate, you know, whenever something happens on the ice. And, that's probably one of the biggest differences I notice with the team over the years that's gone by. Something might have happened and it led to another breakdown, and the breakdowns just piled up on each other. Right now it looks like, you know, if something doesn't go the way it's planned on the ice, there's like this sense of urgency, like, no, it's not going to happen. Like, we're not going to lead to another breakdown and another breakdown. And, I think they're stopping, you know, that kind of that momentum, before it can pick up too much steam and end up in the back of their own net.
Frankie, I mean, you played under Sheldon Keefe. How much credit does he deserve right now for this, the way that the Leafs are buying in, the way that they're playing? Like, what are this guy's biggest strengths as a coach?
He's so good at identifying things in video and implementing them into the team's practices, the skill sessions, and ultimately into the games. So, you know, he's not just coming in the room and isolating clips of mistakes and showing guys, you know, hey, you shouldn't have done this, you shouldn't have done that. It's like there's habits, but there's also systemic things that happen on the ice, and you know, he knows how to implement it into the practice so that it's just so ingrained in your head that when you go on the ice, it's second nature, because you know it was such a smooth transition from seeing it in video, working on it with maybe a skills coach or before or after practice, then implementing it within the practice, and then next thing you know, in the game, you know. But that's a process that happens over time, right? These are the kinds of things that when people talk about a process, that's what it is. It's a start to finish thing. And that it's not just a narrative driven thing that people say, oh yeah, we got to stick to our process. Like, there's actual, like, it's actually there. You can see it when you're a player in the room. You understand it.
Frankie, I've been meaning to ask someone this for a while. Have you, or someone in the know this for a while, have you watched the Amazon series from last year on the Leafs, the All or Nothing docuseries?
I have.
How representative did you think that series was of how Sheldon Keefe and Kyle Dubas actually are as a duo? Or was it a little bit sensationalized, did they look a little different than they did in that series than you perceived them as a player when you were with them on the team?
Not really. Like, I remember talking to a former teammate of mine and asking if he watched it as well. And he was like, yeah, I watched it. I feel like I lived it. And, you know, it is pretty accurate. Obviously there's some things that were left out for, you know, numerous reasons, but I think you can see the intention behind everything they do. And I think a big focus on that was the playoffs, right? And that's been the big hurdle. And you can tell all year long, or as far as they showed, the focus was great. You know, this is everything's for the playoffs, though. Everything's for the playoffs. And then unfortunately they got to that point and we know what happens next. But, you can just see, like, there's an intention with everything they do. You know, they're not winging it. There's a plan. and you know, they want to see it through. And I think as a player, you can appreciate that. You know, you don't want to be coming to the rink thinking, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen today, or on the bench thinking, yeah, I don't know who's going on the ice. Like, you know, and there's, you'd be surprised. There's situations in pro hockey and the NHL where that happens. But, you know, there's just, things are specifically done for a reason within that duo. And, you know, I really hope to see the, you know, that come to fruition here at some point.
In conversation with Frankie Corrado, former Maple Leafs defenseman. And when you were here with Toronto playing with the Marlies, you got to play with Rasmus Sandin and Timothy Liljegren, two young guys who are playing some really solid hockey with the Maple Leafs right now. What kind of impresses you most about these guys?
Yeah, just the poise with the puck right now. I actually had the pleasure of being D partners with Rasmus, and one thing I noticed about him right away was just how calm he was with the puck. But you know, he almost reminded me at the time of just like this kid who was out there and kind of naive to like the consequences of what could happen if you don't make the right play with the puck. And it's so nice to see that he hasn't lost that, you know, because it can happen over time where if you make a mistake and you make another mistake, you kind of play with that in the back of your mind. And it's almost like he just goes out there and he doesn't care. Like, not that he doesn't care. He cares a lot, but yeah, I'm not going to be bothered by what ifs or what might have happened from time to time. I'm just going to play confident, and that's how I'm going to go about my business. And I love that attitude, and I love the way he plays. He almost kind of reminds me of like a really good major league pitcher who's got such good command. And I see him that way with the puck. You know, when he's got the puck, like, he's got great command with it, great poise, and you know, he's going to find a way to beat the forecheckers or beat the forecheck in any way. And then with Lily, like, Lily's really calm with the puck. And I think he's come a long way, and he's such a young guy still. Like, people forget, like, it's his fifth year pro here, but he's still so young, and he's going to come into his own and find his niche as a defenseman. But, you know, the two of them, they play off each other really well. I think they kind of advance the puck up the ice using each other. They're not in a hurry to really stretch the puck up the ice, whereas, you know, in years past, we might have seen Leafs defensemen just kind of be in a hurry to just, you know, get it up the ice as quick as possible. And you know, I really like how they look to make smart, assertive plays with the puck.
Yeah, I always forget that Liljegren's still so young. It feels like he's been with
the Leafs.
He's
22, I think.
Yeah.
22 or so.
Yeah, he's even younger than I am. The Leafs, the third guy that's in that mix is Travis Dermott, and the Leafs have kind of been rotating that third pairing for a few weeks now. As a defenseman who was in that organization, do you think that the internal competition there with that three will work all season, or do you think it'd be better to find a pairing that works and let them build something?
You know what? I'm not too sure where I stand on that, because I know I was the guy who just was never playing and got to see everyone else just play. So, I really like the fact that they're kind of working them all in, because they all have different strengths, and Derms is a really good player, and he's obviously established himself in the league. And, you know, maybe depending on who you're playing some nights, you might switch it up. And, I also like the fact that you're not bombarding the younger kids with, you know, like, matchups they might not be ready for. And, you know, like, it's a long season. It's an 82-game season. Practices in the NHL are no joke. You know, practices, I saw a quote the other day saying that, like, our practices are better than games, you know, and it's not far off the truth. Like, NHL practices are, first of all, if you're a fringe player or whatever, you need to practice well. And just, I think, for the sake of the team, like, you know, look at the skill that's around you, the speed, you know, those practices are going to be hard. And I'm not saying that's the only deciding factor, but, I think it's great that they have all three, in the rotation, and it keeps everyone engaged, keeps everyone focused, and, keeps everyone on their toes. And, if someone's coming out of the lineup, it's not necessarily because of, you know, something bad. It just means that it's my night out, and I'm just going to be ready next week, because I know I'm probably going back in. And so you have that mindset. You keep yourself in the game that way.
Well, Frankie, I mean, it was well documented your time in the press box when you were here. You know, the whole free Corrado.
It was a trending hashtag.
Free Frankie movement, which I was a big, big fan of, a big part of. I want to see Corrado out there as much as possible. You know, what advice would you have to these guys, these three, who, you know, are spending some time in the press box as they're still trying to establish their NHL careers?
Yeah, stay engaged. Like, stay engaged and stay calm. Like, you know, I sat out a long time, so I definitely found myself losing a little focus or just kind of getting a little antsy, right? I think after 20-something games, you could probably get a little antsy sitting up there. but, yeah, just stay calm. You know, there's a lot of season. There's a lot of meaningful hockey to be played, and there's a lot of career, you know, left in front of these guys. And I don't foresee any situation where one of these guys is in the press box for a long period of time. I could be wrong, but I don't see it because I just see the way, and I know the way Sheldon and Kyle run things. And I just don't think that's the way they're going to run things. I think if they have a player who they don't see that they're going to have any use for, I don't see them keeping someone around just to waste their time. So I do see these guys maybe doing a little rotation like they've been doing, but I wouldn't expect any of them to sit out for a prolonged period of time.
Yeah, like we've seen that in the past, whether it was Barabanov or whether it was Mikko Lehtinen. You know, in the past, guys who didn't get the playing time that they were somewhat promised, you know, Sheldon Keefe said, Dubas told them, if we're not going to play you, then we'll give you an opportunity elsewhere. And perhaps that becomes a thing at some point, but I guess we'll have to see. In conversation with Frank Corrado, former Maple Leafs defenseman, I heard you on Adam Wilde and Steve Dangle's show last week, and you made an interesting comment about your time with the Leafs during the tank year and how much you didn't really like Babcock's comments afterward, saying how he wanted to make sure that they tanked for Austin. Do you feel that your personal growth as a player was stunted at all through all of that? Like, do you feel that you didn't get the best for yourself out of Babcock during that season?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, how can you get the best out of yourself when you don't play a whole half of the season? And then, you know, the games you do play, you have to deal with, and it's been well documented, you know, just the kind of, I don't want to use the word shenanigans, but like, you know, there's some mental, and I don't want to use the term mental warfare either, but you know what I'm trying to say. And so, you know, when you struggle with that as a 22, 23 year old player, yeah, for sure. I think it probably does some, takes a mental toll on you and obviously has an adverse effect. And, you know, I think I've said this before, I was probably too young to be going through that situation, mentally for me. I probably wasn't well enough equipped to go through that. And, you know, it just, when you come out with a quote like that saying, you know, we did what we tanked because we wanted to or whatever, like, that's fine. Like, that's what the team needed. You got the player you needed, and he's unbelievable. Like, that's the guy, right? It's just, it makes you wonder, like, okay, like, were we just not good enough? Or did you maybe not give it your all for the players in the room to, you know, to just see what they could be as players? But that's a story for another time, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You played under both of them, Frankie. How different would it have been for the guys 2 years ago when Babcock got canned and Sheldon Keefe came in?
Yeah, it probably would have been pretty jubilant in the room, I imagine. Yeah, it would have been, I mean, there was guys coming out quoting, saying, yeah, it's good times, let's do it, you know, like, let's get this thing going, right? Like, I think you had just a bunch of guys in that room that wanted to get things turned around and get things going on the right track. And, you know, like I touched on before, there's everything that Sheldon does in that room is with a purpose, and it's for the betterment of the player, and it's for the betterment of the team. And that's their process, and that's what they're going to stick with. And I think it's a great way to go about doing your business.
Frankie, it seems like the Crosby and Ovi debate has resurfaced again lately. You were traded from Toronto to Pittsburgh back in 2017, spent parts of two seasons there. But Crosby's somewhat of an enigma. We don't really know anything about this guy off the ice. Can you take us behind the scenes? Do you have any cool or funny stories about Sid?
You know, I don't know if I have anything that sticks out as, like, cool or funny, but I just remember, like, being really starstruck the first time I met him, obviously, yeah. And kind of walk. It was like, the first time in my career I felt really, really starstruck and just walking into the room and just felt like a normal guy, you know, talks to you and just does normal hockey player guy stuff, which is awesome. And he's just, you know, like, but the biggest thing that stuck out to me was in practices that he was the hardest working player in practice. You know, he was the engine in practice. He's the engine in the gym. Like, he really does lead by example with everything he does. And, you know, he's out there asking for guys to shoot pucks so he can tip them. He's working on all kinds of things after practice. And so just to see that drive, you know, from obviously him. And, you know, they say, like, sometimes you don't want to meet your heroes, but that was a situation where you meet Sid and you're like, this guy's everything I wanted or expected him to be, and then some, you know, which was really, really cool to see.
I feel like every guy that comes across Sid for the first time, or every person, the first thing that they say is, oh my god, have you seen his thighs? Like, it's like every time, it's just the most insane thing.
Yeah for sure. He's just a specimen of a human.
Totally.
Well, makes sense. I mean, what he's been able to do in his career, it's not because he's got chicken legs, that's for sure. Yeah. Frankie, thank you so much for joining us, bud. And all the best with the recovery, and hope to see you back out on the ice shortly.
All right, thank you.
There he goes, Frank Corrado, former Maple Leafs defenseman.